Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. In the Civil War in the Republican Party, there's a guy caught in the middle. Fire coming from both sides, and that guy is Rick Scott. Senator from Florida, former governor from Florida, out and out bad guy. Why do I say he's a bad guy? Because he's a Republican from Florida? No, that's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because when he was the head of a healthcare company, he was indicted for Medicare fraud, paid a very large fine, I believe about $1 billion with a B. And obviously the prosecutors looked at Rick Scott. It wasn't the receptionist that committed the fraud. It wasn't the janitors that committed the fraud. So they bring Rick Scott in front of a grand jury. And they say, are you the guy that directed the fraud? You know what he says? He said, I assert my Fifth Amendment rights. I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me. And they didn't prosecute him. He hauls off a bundle of his cash. He goes to Florida. He thinks, you know, I should be governor. I ran a company. He runs for governor. Democrats say, well, you took the Fifth on a Medicare fraud, Medicaid fraud, in front of a grand jury. Dragging you to the grand jury, the convening of the grand jury, there was a probable cause to believe that somebody committed a crime. Your company paid $1 billion. And you said, I refuse to answer on the grounds that might incriminate you. Why would it incriminate you? If you have nothing to hide, why didn't you say something? His response was, I wanted to. I fought. I cried. My lawyer just beat me and wouldn't let me do it. The voters in Florida, after all, they elected DeSantis, a terrible governor. They elect him governor. Elect Rick Scott governor. And then he runs for the Senate. Same thing. He's in the Senate, and now Moscow Mitch has picked him to be the head of the Republican Senate Campaign Committee. What does that mean? Well, there's a Democratic Senate Campaign Committee and a Republican Senate Campaign Committee. And Schumer for the Democrats and Moscow Mitch for the Republicans picked somebody to basically supervise and coordinate the Senate races in the upcoming biennium, which is 2022, help them raise money, make recommendations on who'd be the strongest candidate, and so on. That means that Rick Scott is an important guy. If you want to run for the Senate as a Republican, you better have him on your side. And he announced early on, as did Moscow Mitch, that the first thing they're going to do is back all incumbent Republicans who are running for re-election. The only incumbent Republican running for re-election who voted to convict Donald Trump on the impeachment trial is Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. So Moscow Mitch and Rick Scott are supporting Lisa Murkowski. Trump is attacking Lisa Murkowski, as he attacked everybody who voted to convict him and everybody in the House who voted to impeach him in the Republican Party. And he's encouraging primary opposition. So Rick Scott is caught. He's caught. Trump doesn't want him. Trump doesn't like him. And Trump has a cult base. It's probably 40% of the Republican Party. On the other hand, the donor base of the Republican Party, the cultural base of the Republican Party, is big business. It always has been. Ever since 100 years ago or more. The only one wasn't was Abe Lincoln, Honest Abe. Since then, back in the late 19th century, it was railroads and that kind of thing, railroad interests. And that's the way it's been ever since. Different industries. And they are smart and they know, you know, if QAnon takes the government, if Trump takes the government, how can you have capitalism and violence? You can't. How can you have capitalism without democracy? You can't. When you have autocracy and authoritarianism, leaders steal money, you don't have real capitalism. And you want capitalism as long as it's enlightened with a safety net and the average person is taken care of and poor people are taken care of. Medicare, Medicaid, minimum wage, as pitifully small as it is now, and so on. So about 140 of these companies got together and they go, we're not contributing a dime to anybody who questioned the legitimacy of this last presidential election. Why'd they do that? Because they wanted Biden? Well, actually, some of them did. They're afraid of Trump. But no, you have to have a peaceful transition of power. You can't have guys with clubs going up to the Capitol looking to murder the Speaker of the House and the Vice President and install a strongman. They're smart enough to know you can't do that. So they won't give money to the Trump cult. And the Trump cult is attacking people like Lisa Murkowski, and Rick Scott is caught in the middle. Now, there's a big donor base, dark money donor base in the Republican Party that is not big business. Some of these people are freelance. They're very wealthy and they're kind of freelance intellectuals in their own mind. They've read hardly any history, hardly any philosophy, hardly any literature, and suddenly they have big ideas. Some of them will give 70 million, a couple of hundred million. Big business doesn't give that, but big business is the cultural backdrop of the Republican Party. And without it, they're not going to win. Without it, they're not going to win. They're not going to win the suburbs and the exurbs. They're not going to win lawyers and accountants and doctors and business people who aren't billionaires, but they're affluent and they also don't like violence. So what does Rick Scott do? So he's going to mouse along like a worm, like little Wormwood from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham. And he's going to technically support people like Murkowski and the others and look sorrowful and beg and wince and praise Trump and hope that he can split it. You know what it reminds me of? If you ever go to a hockey game, sometimes they'll have a promotion where they put a board in front of the goal. Then they have a little hole in the board that is barely bigger than a puck. They give it to a guy and he's supposed to slap the puck at it. And if he gets in the hole, he gets a lot of money, because even a pro can't necessarily get the puck into that hole about as big as a puck. That's what Rick Scott's trying to do right now. He is trying to navigate between big business and the Trump cult. He has no core values of his own. So when they ask him, this is his idea, they go, did Joe Biden win the presidency? Was it a legitimate election? And he goes this, well, of course he won the presidency because he's in the White House. But a lot of people have legitimate concerns about the voting. We have to allay those concerns. A little sneaky little jab in the gut on the issue of whether it was legitimate. Little sneaky jab in the gut. Not, yeah, it was a legitimate election. We lost. I wish we hadn't lost. Blah, 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 blah. So there you have it. Rick Scott. Rick Scott, a very questionable individual, took the fifth. Medicare, Medicaid fraud, grand jury. Managed to parlay that into a governorship and Senate seat in Florida. He could not have done that in Wisconsin. He could not have done that in Wisconsin. We have standards in Wisconsin. He could not have done that in Wisconsin. We're going to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Oh, man, this nonsense that I got to watch on TV the last couple of days over who should have called who and when, as far as the National Guard during the violence there in the 6th of January. It's obvious who. First of all, in my mind, it's Donald Trump. He sat and watched it on TV, and then, oh, they go, well, he doesn't have the baloney. Didn't he threaten to put troops in the streets last summer in several cities where there was unrest? Didn't he have the streets cleared in Washington for his little dumb walk back on the 1st of June? And on and on and on. It's obvious who should have made the phone call to get the National Guard down there. It's Donald Trump, period. All this meeting and about this is nonsense in my mind.
No, you're right. And the thing is, if you looked at the coverage on that, Dick, you're right. There was warning as of the day before, and there was a request for the National Guard that day. And Trump would not take the call, and he wouldn't do anything. Finally, Pence called in the National Guard. Trump, according to witnesses, was watching it on television and loved it. He loved the fact that all these guys, he loved the guy with the horns, the QAnon shaman, the guy with the fur, the horns, the bare chest, the war paint, all these people standing up for him. He simply loves attention. He loves loyalty. He loves to have his ears scratched. He loves people who suck up to him. And he would not bring in the National Guard. There was also a directive done that came down from the acting Secretary of Defense. This is very disturbing, that there should not be any National Guard or troops sent down there without the explicit direction of the Department of Defense. And there's some evidence that General Mike Flynn's brother, General Charlie Flynn, is also an Army general, was somehow involved in that decision-making. Of course, Mike Flynn is the guy that urged Trump to just declare martial law and seize the White House with the military force, as if this is what, Belarus, Russia, China, Asia, Africa, come on. But what happened was, as a result of not changing or sending in the National Guard, a police officer died, Brian Sicknick. Another one had his eye poked out. Two others are brain damaged by being hit on the head with lead pipes. Another was stabbed with a pole. Woman was crushed to death, an insurrectionist, while somebody with her pleaded for people to stop stepping on her. Another woman was shot by law enforcement to protect Congress. And they came very, very close to killing some congresspeople. If you look at the video, Mitt Romney is walking and they yell at him and he goes the other way. They would have killed Mitt Romney. But they also said, "Oh, Nancy, oh, Nancy." And then they go, "Hang Mike Pence." I'm serious about this. If they had seen Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi, even with security, they would have swarmed him and beaten them to death like a medieval mob. We came very close, very, very close. If they'd gotten Ocasio-Cortez, they would have beaten her to death. This was a bloodthirsty mob. It was a bloodthirsty mob. If the National Guard had been there in time, they could not have been pushed around. The Capitol Police were magnificent. I mean, some of them took selfies and all that, but a lot of them got injured and did their best. And the people that swarmed them and called them the N-word. One guy, and he's a big guy. He's like 6'8", a big guy, but he's not going to take on 500 people. And he was emotional. He was crying, said, "You know, people haven't called me that in a long time. I'm a police officer." No one cared, apparently. No one cared. So there is a scandal involving that. There is a investigation going on about why the National Guard wasn't sent in earlier, why it wasn't sent in earlier, and who prevented it from being sent in. And I think it's quite clear it was Donald Trump. Because the acting Secretary of Defense is not going to make a decision like that without checking with Trump. And Trump saw it on TV and was chortling, and there was video of his family grinning, and the girlfriend of Don Jr. was dancing. And Trump wouldn't take the call and wouldn't send in the National Guard, and ultimately had to be Pence because they're threatening to hang him. That's what happened. Going to a break. Lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. She goes.